Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we were talking about the possibility of the LDS Church Almanac going out of print. We've heard that. It was mentioned in this article that we referenced yesterday, titled, New Almanac Offers Look at the World of Mormon Membership. Now, what we were saying yesterday is that the LDS Church Almanac, it may be going out of print. We don't have that confirmed yet, but there is going to be another resource that may take its place and may even be better, in my opinion, I think. More detailed, more honest, perhaps. More candid would probably be the more politically correct term, but I hate political correctness. But anyway, this new almanac is put out by two guys. One is a physician, David Stewart, who lives in Las Vegas, and a colleague of his by the name of Matt Martinich. Now, if I'm ruining his last name, I apologize. But anyway, these two guys have put together what's known as a 1,900-page, two-volume, exhaustive survey titled Reaching the Nations, International Church Growth Almanac 2014.
Yeah, and it's available on Amazon. Each edition is going to cost you $54. So you're looking at an over $100 investment. I wonder how that will go with a lot of Latter-day Saints who want to get this. But
That's for each volume.
Each volume. So it's going to be over $100. Wow. The first volume deals with the Americas, Oceania, and Europe, and the other volume deals with Asia and Africa. So those two together equal 1,900 pages that, as it says here on Amazon.com, it contains detailed country and regional profiles with overview of history, economy, politics, culture, and religion, along with research and analysis of growth opportunities and challenges of the Mormon Church around the world. So it's going to be much more complete than the current almanac is, you know, 300, 400 pages, and this is going to be quadruple or five times bigger.
But you are talking a difference of about $100 to the LDS Church almanac usually costs anywhere from about $10 or $12.
Well, yeah, right now it's you can get it for $10, but still, I mean, $100, how many people are going to pay for that?
Well, if you're really interested in wanting to know what's going on in the Mormon Church, where their growth really lies, and some of the growth struggles that the church is facing right now, then this certainly would be a resource that you would want to look at. But one of the reasons why we're taking the time to look at this new almanac that's coming out is that it tends to include some information that we don't think you would ever find in anything that is published by the Mormon Church. At least not that's disseminated to the masses, because the Mormon Church tends to keep hidden a lot of the things that don't make it look all that positive.
Let me give you a for instance on that, Bill. This is one of the facts that come out of the new Reaching the Nations Almanac. About 30% of Mormons worldwide, or about 4.5 million out of the 15 million that they say they have, regularly attend church meetings. That's less than one-third of all people on record attending church regularly.
I wonder if that surprises a lot of people. I mean, we run into what is known as Jack Mormons all the time, and they are still Mormons of record. They don't go to the temple. They don't go to church services on Sunday. They probably don't give their tithes, that's for sure. But it's funny, in talking to a lot of Jack Mormons, though, they're still going to defend it. Boy, yeah. Sometimes they can be the most tenacious when it comes to defending Mormonism, even though many times when I'm talking to a Jack Mormon, I say, well, if you believe this is so true, why aren't you living it? Yeah. Wouldn't that make you even more responsible than, let's say, a person who knows very little about the Mormon Church?
Reaching the Nations came out with this information that at least seven countries have member activity rates of 15% or less. That's 1-5, 15% or less, and they give the nations Chile, Portugal, South Korea. Interesting, South Korea is very much a Christian nation. Panama, Hong Kong, Croatia, and Palau. And so 15% or less. And then even with countries that have decent rates. The highest you're going to find are going to be maybe 50 to 55%, which would be Nigeria. But listen to some of the other countries. United States, only 40% of all people calling themselves Latter-day Saints here in the United States are active. Mexico, 20 to 25%. Brazil, 25%. Chile, 12%. New Zealand has 40 to 45%. Tonga, 30 to 35%. Germany, 25%. So you're getting an idea, all these different countries. Yeah, so they're averaging maybe 30% overall, but there's very few that are going over the 30% numbers, and there's a lot of countries underneath that.
A lot of the countries that you just mentioned also have a temple. But, you know, when I was in Ghana back in 2003, the Mormons were about to dedicate the temple in Accra. And, of course, there was a lot of activity in the Mormons, of course. Whenever they're going to build a temple, there's going to be a lot of publicity that surrounds it and such, because many times these new temples going into an area attract a lot of very curious people. And so they want to know what that building's all about. And they've probably heard that once it's dedicated, no non-Mormon who is not in good standing, or even a Mormon who's not in good standing, is not going to be allowed to go inside. So they want to take that opportunity to see it while they can. And of course, the missionaries are going to be there to try and convert them. That's what they do.
Let me give you some states, the United States, that have had the highest LDS congregational growth between 2000 and 2010. Delaware, 63% growth from in that decade, from 2000 to 2010. I'm guessing there probably weren't very many Mormons in Delaware before, and so maybe that's why. But Virginia, 33%. You and I have been to Virginia, and there's a university there, Southern University.
Southern University, outside of Lexington.
Yeah, Buena Vista. And
It's still hard to call it Buena Vista. Yeah. Our Southern California roots tell us it should be Buena, but that's how they pronounce it.
But if you know Robert E. Lee, Lexington is right there.
Yeah, right next door would be Lexington, and of course the Virginia Military Institute is there.
And Robert E. Lee is well known there and has his house and everything
Thomas
else.
Thomas Jackson.
33%, that's a pretty big rate for the South. North Carolina, 32%. Texas and Tennessee, 29%. These are the highest rated percentages of the Mormons growing, and they're growing down South, in the Bible Belt, no less. Within the past 3 years, the lowest convert retention rates have appeared to occur within Latin America, where many nations have experienced no noticeable increase in the number of active Mormons within this period. We've talked about Brazil. I mean, Brazil is a country that I don't know how many temples it has, four or five temples. And yet, within Latin America, that's the lowest convert retention rate. It's interesting how many people in some of the poorer countries perhaps are joining the Mormon church in an effort perhaps to be associated with Americans, maybe the possibility of coming to America.
It's interesting you mention that, because as I was talking about the Philippines earlier when I was over there back in the 1980s, that was something that was brought up, and that a lot of Filipinos probably looked at the Mormon church as their ticket out of this. They called it a brain drain, and a lot of the best and the brightest were ending up joining the church, or maybe ending up going out, or thinking that the church was their ticket out. I should probably word it that way. Who knows? I've heard that's the same story when talking with African nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. They see the wealth of the Mormon church, and that might be something that's very attractive to a national, and thinking, well, this is an American church. It can't be all that far off. I mean, America has a history of being a Christian nation. I don't think that's the way it is right now, but that's the way we used to be.
And you have access to the bishop's storehouse. So, you know, when in need, you're going to be able to get the things that you'll need. They do take care of each other pretty well. And I think that's well known in maybe some of the poorer countries. Here's another fact that they came up with, the Word of Wisdom, which is the health code urging Mormons to not drink alcohol, have tobacco, coffee, and tea, and also the Law of Chastity, forbidding sex outside of marriage, perhaps presents the greatest challenges to new converts and seasoned members.
When I was in Russia, I made three trips to Russia in 93, 94, and 95. I did notice this, because in Russia, everybody drinks tea.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen the water, you've got to boil it, or you've got to purify it. I mean, the water that comes out of the faucets there looks like weak tea, all right? Weak iced tea.
Yuck.
And I even have a picture of me holding up a pitcher of it, and it looks pretty gross. And you don't dare drink the water out of the faucet. So many people, especially during the colder months, and that's just about most of Russia, it's the colder months, they boil the water, of course, and they make tea. And this is what they do. Well, if you can't have hot drinks, if you can't have the hot drinks, what else are you going to have?
How about some vodka, which is probably what a lot of the men are drinking?
Well, that's prohibited too, according to the word of wisdom.
So you're really done with if you can't drink those two things in Russia.
I guess it would become a dilemma. And no doubt there are many Russians or even many people in other countries that look at this type of a prohibition, as I have often looked at it, as kind of silly. I mean, really, coffee and tea, I can understand perhaps, you know, alcohol and tobacco because they do have health problems associated with that. But I don't know of too many people that have on their death certificate that they died from an overdose of tea or coffee.
We have one more I want to get to. It's in Africa, there have been many instances in which individuals cannot get baptized in some countries because they participate in polygamous marriages per local customs and traditions. These individuals have to divorce polygamous spouses to become Mormons, apparently a rare move. The LDS Church stopped practicing plural marriage more than a century ago.
I love how they always have to stick that in there. Hey, we're not doing this anymore. But isn't this quite the turnaround? They've come full circle. I mean, now if you are a practicing polygamist, the Mormon Church tells you to divorce if you're going to be a member. But yet in the early years of Mormonism, we had just the opposite thing being taught. For instance, Brigham Young, who said the only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy. So we see that the church has actually come full circle on this.
And I just want to, when I read this, I'm thinking to myself, you can't become a member unless you get divorced to your other wives. And that's a controversial issue, I'm sure. But at the same time, to get baptized into this church is your ticket to salvation. And so if you're going to hold on to these wives and not want to get divorced, which the Bible seems not to encourage divorce, then you're sacrificing your eternity for keeping those wives. An interesting situation.
It absolutely is. But if you're interested, this is the book you might want to get, Reaching the Nations, International Church Growth Almanac 2014.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.